TED Audio Collective.
This TED Talk features artist, curator, and social entrepreneur, Beth Malone, recorded live at TED Residency 2017.
TED Talks Daily is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Quote now at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary.
Hi, I'm Ben. I suffer from a condition called writer's block. It strikes when I'm at work. That's why I choose Canva Magic Write. It works fast, generating texts in seconds, thanks to AI.
Common side effects include increased productivity, compliments from coworkers, feelings of satisfaction.
Now I can say bye-bye to writer's block.
Ask your boss if Canva Magic Write is right for you at canva.com, designed for work.
Canva. I've been doing some thinking. I'm gonna kill my dad. I called my sister, listen, I've been doing some thinking. I'm gonna kill dad. I'm gonna take him to Oregon, find some heroin, and give it to him. My dad has frontotemporal lobe dementia, or FTD. It's a confusing disease. It hits people in their 50s or 60s. It can completely change someone's personality, making them paranoid and even violent. My dad has been sick for a decade, but 3 years ago he got really sick, and we had to move him out of his house. The house that I grew up in, the house that he built with his own hands. My strapping, cool dad with the falsetto singing voice had to move into a facility for round-the-clock care when he was just 65. At first, my mom and sisters and I made the mistake of putting him in a regular nursing home. It was really pretty. It had plush carpet and afternoon art classes and a dog named Diane. But then I got a phone call. Miss Malone, we've arrested your father. What? Well, he threatened everybody with cutlery. And then he yanked curtains off the wall, and then he tried to throw plants out the window, and then, well, he pulled all the old ladies out of their wheelchairs. All the old ladies? What a cowboy. After he got kicked out of there, we bounced in between a bunch of state-run facilities before finding a treatment center specifically for people with dementia. At first, he kind of liked it. But over time, his health declined, and one day I walked in and found him sitting hunched over on the ground, wearing a onesie, those kind of outfits that zip in the back. I watched him for about an hour as he yanked at it, trying to find a way out of this thing. And it's supposed to be practical, but to me, it looked like a straitjacket. And so I ran out. I left him there. I sat in my truck, his old truck, hunched over, this really deep guttural cry coming out of the pit of my belly. I just couldn't believe that my father, the Adonis of my youth, my really dear friend, would think that this kind of life was worth living anymore. We're programmed to prioritize productivity. So when a person, an Adonis in this case, is no longer productive in the way we expect him to be, the way that he expects himself to be, what value does that life have left? That day in the truck, all I could imagine was that my dad was being tortured, and his body was the vessel of that torture. I gotta get him out of that body. I gotta get him out of that body. I'm gonna kill dad. I call my sister. Beth, she said, you don't want to live the rest of your life knowing that you killed your father. And you'd be arrested, I think, because he can't condone it. And you don't even know how to buy heroin. It's true, I don't. The truth is, we talk about his death a lot. When will it happen? What will it be like? But I wish that we would have talked about death when we were all healthy. What does my best death look like? What does your best death look like? But my family didn't know to do that. And my sister was right. I shouldn't murder Dad with heroin. But I got to get him out of that body. So I went to a psychic, and then a priest, and then a support group, and they all said the same thing. Sometimes people hang on when they're worried about loved ones. Just tell them you're safe, and it's okay to go when you're ready. So I went to see Dad. I found him hunched over on the ground in the onesie. He was staring past me and just kind of looking at the ground. I gave him a ginger ale and just started talking about nothing in particular. But as I was talking, he sneezed from the ginger ale. And the sneeze, it jerked his body upright, sparking him back to life a little bit. And he just kept drinking and sneezing and sparking over and over and over again until it stopped. And I heard, "This is so fabulous. This is so fabulous." His eyes were open and he was looking at me, and I said, "Hi, Dad." And he said, "Hiya, Beth." And I opened my mouth to tell him, "Right, Dad, if you want to die, you can die. We're all okay." But as I opened my mouth to tell him, all I could say was, "Dad, I miss you." And then he said, "Well, I miss you too." And then I just fell over because I'm just a mess. So I fell over and I sat there with him because for the first time in a long time, he seemed kind of okay. And I memorized his hands, feeling so grateful that his spirit was still attached to his body. And in that moment, I realized I'm not responsible for this person. I'm not his doctor. I'm not his mother. I'm certainly not his God. And maybe the best way to help him and me is to resume our roles as father and daughter. And so we just sat there, calm and quiet like we've always done. Nobody was productive. Both of us are still strong. "Okay, Dad, I'm gonna go, but I'll see you tomorrow." "Okay," he said. "Hey, this is a pretty nice hacienda." Thank you.
For more TED Talks, go to TED.com.